Well, for several weeks now, we've been marking our way with the lighting of the candle. So let's light our candles now. We have a lighter, I think. Yes. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, so we light the four candles. On Christmas Eve, at our Christmas Eve service, we'll light the Christ candle, which symbolizes the presence of Christ here. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we give thanks for your love that walks with us all the way as we walk our way to Bethlehem. To see what the shepherds saw, what the wise men saw, to discover the great light that brings us hope and brings us joy. Amen. Thank you. It's time for us to join together in prayer. In the prayer, there'll be a time for you to name a name or to say a concern or to offer a petition to God, perhaps a joy, perhaps a sorrow. And I invite you to do that. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, we turn to you and you are already here. Before we ever thought to thank you, you were with us. By your creation, you showed you wanted to be with us. And through all the ages, you are ours and we are yours. We give thanks for Jesus. Your love made concrete, tangible, fresh, new, touchable. Lord, we pray for those who struggle today. For those who live with heavy grief. We pray for those for whom the season is bittersweet, joy mixed with tears. We pray for families who find it difficult to be together. Ease pain, Lord, give patience, give your forgiveness, your reconciling presence. We pray for those who are cold or have no good place to get dry or to be warm. We pray for all who are far away from home on this day, for those who serve their nation, and for those who serve you. We pray for those who are in hospitals and rehabilitation programs, and for those who face tests and treatments. May your healing presence be in them and around them and give comfort. We pray for those who cannot provide for their families or themselves. Oh Lord, strengthen those who seek work and who seek to do right by those they love. Oh Lord, hear the prayers that we offer now. Lord, who hears prayers, prayers we say in our heart, prayers we say on our lips, you who know the things that we cannot even put into words or express, we give thanks that you are present with strength and healing and deliverance and new life. We give thanks when we consent to be with you, you consent to be with us. And so, O Lord, open our lives to the invasion of your Spirit. May it fill us and guide us and teach us we are your beloved children. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The story today is the story of Mary. It's in Luke's gospel, before we get to the birth, Luke spends time telling us about some other people. Zechariah, Elizabeth, John the baptizer, and Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I am a virgin? The angel said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary began to sing, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He's looked with favor on the lowliness of His servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, according to the promise He made to our ancestors Abraham and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our imaginations to your presence, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. It's been about a month ago, I think. I am on an elevator at the hospital, visiting folks. The elevator stops at a floor, the door opens, and this woman gets on, and she's got in tow a little boy. He's a little guy. And she's on this side of the elevator, but the panel where you, the buttons for the floors are on this side, so it's crowded. So she kind of reaches across to push a button, but the little boy begins to say, "Me do it, me do it." The little boy has obviously been on an elevator before, and he knows about elevator magic. You look over there and you see these buttons with a number on them, and you push one and it lights up. If you're about three, that's pretty good. You push it and it lights up, and then the door closes. And then the thing starts to go up or go down. You feel it moving. And then the magic happens. The door opens again, and all the people that were out there, they have disappeared. And there's a whole new group of people there. It's just this magic room that you go into, and the people outside change. So he said, "Me do it." And she lets him do it. And that's a good thing. He drove our elevator that day. My guess is that's not the first time he had said to her, "Me do it." He probably already reached the point in his short life where she was going to help dress him. "Me do it, me do it." He probably reached the point in his life where she was going to pour him some Cheerios and he, "No, me do it." You know what probably happened too when he did it. Or he wanted to wind up one of his toys. "Me do it." Or he wanted to wash the dog. Me do it. Because we know that about, late twos, threes, fours, that begins to kick in. It's a normal, ordinary part of human development when we begin to say, "Me do it. Me do it. Me do it by myself." What children are learning is cause and effect. They're learning, they're developing a sense of competence and capability. I can do something. They are, they're having a blast at that stage in life, exploring, and they got this newfound power, this ability to make things happen, to kind of influence the world and alter the world. And that's really good. You got to learn that to learn. I do this, and there are these consequences. To experience what I'm kind of good at, to learn some life skills. To figure out my competencies. Because if you don't learn some of these things when you're little, there can be some grief when you get older. There can be some pain. In fact, fast forward in your imagination with that little boy, 20 years. And, there can be a lot of grief between him and his new bride if he has not learned me do it. If he's not learned me do it when it comes to picking up his dirty socks or keeping gas in his car or sorting out his finances and keeping up with that, or just getting up every day and going and doing, being useful somehow. There's going to be some grief if you haven't learned about me doing it. So me do it. That's important to learn in life. And it will contribute to our usefulness and our happiness along the way. And I think maybe the only thing worse than not learning that is assuming that the me do it mode has something to do with our spiritual life. Because the me do it, it doesn't work that way so much in the spiritual life. There are a lot of things that will happen in life because of our intellect and our will and our energy and our initiative. But the wisdom of the Bible is that spiritual growth happens not so much when I'm in charge. Spiritual growth tends to happen not by me do it, but by surrender. We're not sure we like that. But the wisdom of the Bible is that spiritual growth is not so much about me do it. It's really more about letting go and letting God. In fact, it's about letting God do for me what I cannot do for myself. All spiritual growth is really about welcoming God into our lives at deeper and deeper levels. And we believe this God is love. So spiritual growth is about letting God love us more and more. And so spiritual growth is about letting God be more and more alive in us, because God is crazy in love with us and wants to be. It's about letting God grace us, be kind to us, give us His presence. And you know, that's all a gift. That's all a gift. If it's something we got by me do it, well, then it's not a gift. It's something that's done to us and for us and in us. Luke chooses to teach us about this truth and insight by introducing us to Mary. Mary is the very first person who welcomes Jesus into the world. We meet Mary in the story when she has heard from the angel Gabriel that God has this crazy wild plan to save, to love the world, and He wants her to be a part of it. Now, Mary has not set out, she's not asked for this. She has not set out to be a part of God's plan to love the world and save the world. If Mary wants to be in charge of anything, it's probably her wedding. We don't know how she and her sisters or she and her mama has got along, but you know, maybe she wanted to be in charge of her wedding that was coming up. But she shows no inclination that we know or interest in being the way that God will love and bless the world. Well, it doesn't seem to be on her agenda or on her horizon. Contrast that to the old man Zechariah that we've already met. Zechariah, when the angel Gabriel, he comes to both of them. He comes to Zechariah, remember, he comes to Mary. Now, when he goes to see Zechariah, he's coming to a man of some substance, a man of some importance, a man of some significance. Zechariah is a priest. His family, going back generations, have run that temple up there. I mean, that's a big deal. And he's an older man, an elder. He's considered wise and good. He's a man. Think about Mary. Mary is not in charge of much of anything in the world. She's young in a culture that values old age. She is poor, a peasant girl in a world that's impressed with wealth. She's female in a world that values men. And she's from nowhere, Nazareth. You know, Nazareth is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. It's nowhere. Mary is not a mover and a shaker like Zechariah. She's not in charge of anything except her response to God. And her response is surrender. The angel tells her God has in mind to use her, and she says, "Let it be. Let it happen to me." She surrenders to this scheme of God to bring God into the world. She says, "I'm your servant. Let it be for me as you say." You know, sometimes we modern folks have problems or just not sure what to think of this idea of a virgin becoming a mother. But what we need to see, if this is the Bible's way of saying, this was not Mary's idea. I mean, neither Mary nor Joseph were instigators of God's coming into the world. It was no ordinary human man or woman who said, let this child be. No, it's about God. That's what that doctrine is about. It's about the initiative of God, and Mary surrenders to that. Maybe the key phrase is when the angel says to her, "You're the favored one." Have you ever thought about what it means to be favored? Mary, it's not about Mary so much. It's she's not the one doing the favoring. The one doing the favoring is God. Mary seems to understand God does not love us because we are good. we are good because God loves us and pronounces us good. And when Mary says yes to God's plan, her life, she's already had God in her, the Holy Spirit, by virtue of being a human who's made in God's image like we all are. But that image of God begins to come alive and grow. The force field of God begins to grow, and love takes shape in her. It takes a new form in her. And she gives up her agenda. Luke is telling us the very first disciple in the Bible is Mary. We might have thought it was Simon Peter or James or John or Andrew or one of the guys, the fishermen. No. The very first one to make room in her life for Jesus. The very first one to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, God's man. That's Mary. And she makes room for him. She's the first disciple. But she's not the last. She's not the last. Because it goes on to this day. And we make room. We make room for him in our lives. As we surrender to God's way, we do that mainly by the way that we understand our worth in life doesn't come from lots of the things we think. You know, if I were to say to you, what do you think that guy's worth? You know what I'm asking. I'm asking, how much money does he have? But think about the question, what's his worth? Some people think their worth is, what tribe they're part of, what family, what nation, what ethnic group they're part of. Some think it's our reputation. So some think it's our intelligence, or some think it's our possessions, or maybe our performance. What Mary knew, Mary who had none of those things. Mary, who is not a me-do-it person, she knows our significance comes from the fact that we're loved by God, that God loves us, that God wants to be with us, and that's the deepest truth of our life. And so what we do is we give over all that other striving to make ourselves worthwhile or pinning our life on those things, and we trust it's God who gives us our worthiness and our significance. We give it away and we discover we get it all back and more. We discover God alive in us, God part of us, God the best part and the truest part and the most enduring part. We discover what Paul said, I no longer live, not I, but Christ lives in me. You know, there's a hymn. You'll hear it on the radio. We'll sing it probably. If we haven't already, we will before it's over. We sing it mainly at Christmas, but you know, it really could be our prayer for the whole year. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels. The great glad tidings tell, oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord of life, we ponder in our hearts, as did Mary, the wonder of your love, the astonishing goodness that you came into this crazy world of ours to love us in our imperfections and in our humanity. You loved us enough to become one of us. Oh Lord, help us to ponder that and to discover that your presence in us changes us and gives us new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand as you're able for a word of blessing. And now, people of God, you who are created in God's image, you in whom God placed His Spirit, you who are eternally loved by God, go in His power, go in His peace, and may the light of Him whose star is rising upon us bring us joy and bring us hope. In the name of the one we love, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.